Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Eric, what's happening?
Yo!
That's the energy I'm talking about.
That's right.
Let's go. Are you a salad guy?
I don't think anybody is like. I mean, who?
I'm a salad guy. I am a salad guy.
But I'm saying, like, who's definitively not a salad guy?
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't.
Who among us can stand against salad? Right.
Well, you know what kind of salad I love is the salad bar salad, and a good salad bar.
Bojo's, they have sliced beets, and then you can always finish your salad off with chocolate pudding.
Chocolate pudding, that's true. The chocolate pudding is a real funny little wrinkle in the salad bar. But yeah, Bojo's does have it all. They have an A-plus salad bar. That's what I read about them. If I go there, I fill up on salad, I don't overeat the pizza. Otherwise, I will have like three total pizzas with all of the like bread thing. I just feel complete shame. But
this is the strangest... Yeah, this is the strangest like lie filled flex of all time. Like, there's no way I watch you fill up on salad and put ham on their pizza.
Well, that's what it is. It's not the healthiest salad, but that's a compromise. The salad has to meet me halfway there, Eric. It does. Welcome in, everybody, obviously, to the DNVR Nuggets podcast. I am Adam Ades. I'm joined by Eric Weedham. You know him as D-Line Co. He is our designer. What is your title at DNVR?
Designer.
Okay. I would go as far as to say chief designer.
Oh, well, that seems nice. I appreciate that.
You just got a promotion there. Today we were presented by Illegal Pete's, home of the stir, Eric's favorite thing. Delicious, another Colorado state. We got all the Colorado brands. Today we're going to be talking about the state of the Nuggets. We've done a lot of pods, the four of us, the DNVR crew with Harrison and Brendan. We cut those scrubs. They're out. Now it's just me and you today. Now, like the Nuggets, we're doing this one very shorthanded. I'll be the Jokic. You can be the Vlatko Chanchar. We are going to talk about some big picture stuff and then also talk about how much we hate the Lakers ahead of tomorrow night's showdown with the Lakers. But I want to start a little bit more broad, Eric. You are, first and foremost, a Denver Nuggets fan and fanatic. What have you enjoyed most about this season so far?
What I've enjoyed most about the season is that it's been just success after success after success. And like, even the parts where everybody was full of consternation and was angry about the way that things looked and the way things were going, we were still winning basically every game that we were playing. And so it's been like a really entertaining thing to just sit back and watch people manufacture anger about this team where we really have nothing to be upset about. I mean, the games that they've lost, they've immediately bounced back and hit us with a really inspirational performance. Jokic is obviously just the number one story of the season. Like, the
is
way
he? That's
he is
interesting
evolving,
to me.
You don't think so? I mean, he's just the way he's evolving. Like, he's just really coming into his own. Like, it's really been a Jokic heavy season. We started off by everyone trying to psychoanalyze him, me first and foremost, trying to figure out like what it is that was holding him back from being who we all knew that he could be. And then just sort of watching him once December 12th? What's our day? What's
December
7th.
Well, December 15th is the official Jokic.
But once we cross that December 15th line of demarcation, like, Jokic has just been so much more than I ever thought he could be. I mean, he's just like so impressive, and he just gives me so much calm and so much excitement when I think about the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, you and Michael Porter Jump both. You both you have a sense of calmness around Jokic. I like it. So here's what's interesting. It's the same with, like, we do game balls, and Jokic could have, if you were just doing it in a vacuum, who's the best Nugget, like, Jokic would have all but maybe 10 game balls. Like, but we grade him on a curve. And for me this year, I think Jokic has taken a real leap, and not forward, but like an actual leap over the last 6 to 7 weeks that has been just so encouraging. Cause I didn't know if he had another leap in him. I thought he would get better, just not a leap. And I think he's made a leap. I agree that that's been a big storyline, but to me, the defining trait of this season has been Michael Porter Jr. I mean, it's obviously been such a smaller impact on everything that's happened because he's only played in like 20 games or whatever. But to me, it's like I have a hard time picturing this team without him, and I pictured this team without him all the way up until like 2 months ago.
I was going to say, I mean, you could probably picture the team currently if you wanted to have
that's true. No, but let me put it this way. I told Harrison this the other day. I was like, for MP, I just never thought about him. Like, he was out of sight, out of mind. And I was like, okay, can this team win a championship? Maybe it takes whatever. Now, and I go, like, I can't picture them winning a championship without him. Like, how good he can be. Oh, yeah. Another guy that's a potential.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's hard to, for me, I imagine next season will be the Michael Porter Jr. season. Like, the addition of Michael Porter Jr. is alluring and appealing, but I just can't put it above the ascension of Nikola Jokic. Like, Nikola Jokic at this point in time has turned into that player, that the one player that you need to be the cornerstone of an actual championship contending team, which, you know, there's not a single matchup that comes up now that I have any doubt in Nikola Jokic. Like, I just know that he's going to rise to the occasion. I know that he's going to give us exactly what we need. That I know that he can take six other players and defeat like a hated interdivisional rival in Utah, which hasn't happened in years and years and years. And like, I mean, like, I don't know how it could be anything other than Jokic. I mean, MPJ is just like a tantalizing treat on top of that. He's just sort of a cherry on top.
He's the dessert. Yeah. The dessert that the feast. I think he'll be more than that before long. But you are right. You are right that, like, if you just talk about, like, what has been the most important thing, it's Jokic and taking that step forward and the game winners. I mean, it's almost getting to a comical point right now where it's just like, it's really ironic to me, Eric, because the story on the Nuggets, if you ask the experts, they say, well, they need a closer. But it's 2 years in a row now that they've been the most clutch team in the NBA, and it's like, I do think there's some luck to the clutch thing because there's so few minutes that, like, every make really swings whether or not you're clutch or not. But at the same time, they have a pretty good sample size going right now. And every time we watch them in the clutch, it's like, oh, yeah, there's Murray and Jokic just looking like superstars.
Yeah, but I mean, the experts, as you say, they want the shot from half court. They want the 3-point step back. Like,
they've got those, like, this year. They've got somber stuff shuffles in the, like.
That's true. But just like Jokic just has such a workmanlike approach to all of these. It's like you don't even question the fact whether or not they're going to go in. They just go in and you just take it for granted. You move on with your life. But it doesn't have the same impact for some reason as Dame Lillard hitting one shot from the logo. So I don't really understand it. I mean, a lot of it is just like this inferiority complex that we're all struck with. But you know, this narrative, I mean, it can't live on. It can't survive. I mean, Jokic is doing everything. There's just no way it's going to stand up in the face of what Jokic is actually doing.
So I see you tweeting. So Mel Tucker has left Denver. Or see you. Wow. Ouch. That hurts.
That news. Wait, what?
Just, Mel Tucker. I thought you just tweeted about it.
No. Did I just tweet about it? No. While we were talking? No, I've been poisoning the.
Well, I just saw maybe it was somebody else then that looked like it was you, but yeah, I guess Mel Tucker just left CU. What a huge bummer! But neither here nor here there for this podcast. So, wow, the group chat is going off. I better mute this because it's going to be wow.
Oh my gosh,
that really blows. That really blows. Wow. Well, you're gonna want to tune into to DNVR Buffs tomorrow. I'm sure there's going to be an emergency podcast, but oh my God, what a bombshell to drop over recording this. But the fans here want to talk about Nuggets, so let's keep it moving, Eric. What are you most looking forward to the rest of this season?
The DNVR Buffs timeline tomorrow. Talk about Mel Tucker, I think, first and foremost. No, what am I most looking forward to? I'm most looking forward to just the Nuggets. Last year was the most fun I've ever had with any franchise, I think, ever. I mean, including the Broncos, where the Broncos won the Super Bowl. I had such a good time with that team the entire year, but there's something so satisfying about watching this Nuggets team grow from absolutely nothing and just rise up and actually hit, you know, some of the strides that we all thought that we never thought we could.
Yeah.
And so, I just can't wait to just watch that happen again. Like that, the second half of the season, I think you said, just goes into like super fast motion and everything just starts hitting, games start happening one after the next. The importance level starts rising. And I just can't wait, man. Like, it was so fun last year. Remember that? Like,
it was very fun.
Playoffs?
Yeah. Oh, it was. Playoff basketball is like a real blast, man. Like the atmosphere, the intensity, just it's so being there. God. It's just like incredible. It is really an adrenaline rush. It's like skydiving. I've never been, but I imagine.
No, I know. I imagine it's absolutely nothing like skydiving.
I think it was everything like skydiving.
It was exciting. I'll give you that much.
All right, let's take a break. Today we're talking about the Breck Avalanche Amber Ale. Do you have a favorite Breck beer?
Oh, it's without question Mile High City, man. That is,
dude. People are loving the Mile High City. People are loving it.
I legitimately love it. Yeah. It's so good. Like I call it the most considerate beer of Breckenridge Chop.
It's a gentleman.
It shows up. It like comes in with it full of force and flavor, and then it like gets you drunk, and then it just like leaves your tongue. It just like leaves your tongue, has a nice clean finish, and it just leaves, and it's on its way. It's just so considerate.
It's like
you the rest of the day.
It's like that magnetic friend that, you know, every time they're in the room, you're just buzzing. The lights come on, yeah, and everything's just great.
Yeah, and then they just leave. They don't leave a mess. They just take off.
What kind of friend is the Avalanche Amber?
To be honest, I don't have that much experience with the Avalanche Amber. I need to spend a little more time with it.
Yeah, it's like a mysterious friend that you'd like to get to know better.
I've gone in heavy on the Strawberry Sky. I've gone in heavy on the Vanilla Porter Jr. Yeah. And for whatever reason, I've not given as much love to the Avalanche Amber Ale.
Pearl Jam, do you? I'm going to out you as a Pearl Jam hater.
Please do.
I think we were talking about Pearl Jam's a great band. I was going to make a Pearl Jam Off He Goes reference, but it's not going to work. I was being ridiculed the other day at DNVR headquarters for liking Pearl Jam. Called a dad, which I am. But I was called a dad for like, I just can't believe that. Pearl Jam's great. DNVR, people think I have bad music taste. No, I have great music taste. You guys all, you youngins all have terrible, terrible music taste.
Am I included in that you youngins dig that you just
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How much older than I?
I don't know, like 5 years. 7 years. I don't know.
What's up, guys? Ryan Konigsberg here, and I gotta tell you about the Blake Street Tavern. It's my favorite sports bar in town, as evidenced by the fact that we had our fantasy draft there. It's where I watched Super Bowl 48. It's where I watched CU win a Pac-12 basketball championship back in the day. It's the place to be for any sporting event. It's the biggest bar in town. I always joke you could land a 747 in there. It was named the National Sports Bar of the Year in 2017 by Nightclub and Bar Magazine. It wins Best Sports Bar in Denver seemingly every year from Westward. Anyone else that's voting, it's the place to be. They've got great specials, and the food is out of this world. I recommend the nachos, the green chili fries, the buffalo chicken wrap, you name it, they've got it. And the location is perfect, just 2 blocks north of Coors Field, and they have parking. So go check out the Blake Street Tavern.
All right, let's turn our attention now to the state of Nuggets fans. And the reason I want to bring this up, Eric, because you are, first of all, I mean, we're all fans over at DNVR, but you are like the fan of the fan over at DNVR. Oh. Like you get to go crazy.
I think of my just my contribution to the narrative over at DNVR is that I'm the mouth breathing fan. I'm not encumbered by like logic or trying to be fair-minded about things. Like when I watch sports, it is as visceral as it can possibly get. I spend the rest of my life in my head and trying to be logical. I try to be, even keel and balanced. And when it comes to sports, like absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not.
You're the brainstem part of the brain of the Nuggets fan brain. Just like the visceral, just like, ugh.
without question.
So what would you say? So the reason I asked this, what is the state of Nuggets fans right now, is because it's interesting. Like, there's no TV broadcast, or there is, but only on DirecTV. I mean, it's very difficult to get. But the team, when I were at the game the other day, Denver's down 23, and they went on like a 5-0 run, and the crowd was like, we're with it, we're ready. I just thought it was such a great crowd, because the crowd like needed the tiniest little bit of like, hope, and they were there. And I'm a big believer in this stuff, Eric. They hit back-to-back-to-back three-pointers to basically catch up at the end of the third quarter. And I felt like a lot of that had to do with, like, the crowd. They were playing great. The players get all the credit, all this and that. But, like, the crowd was willing those shots in. It was just like they were ready for it. They just were like, oh, yes, we're having this. Like, they were just so excited and ready for it, and the momentum built. And then when Monte shot that, like, 40-foot three-pointer, it was just like, oh, that's definitely in, because the whole crowd was ready for it to go in. Did you feel that way?
Oh, when you say they, you mean I'm
you?
Part of they.
Yeah.
Yes. I was up there. Yes. I was willing that shot in, but yeah, the second it left his hands, I was like, that's in, that's money. That's good. I mean, the Nuggets have given us absolutely no reason to not believe in them ever. I mean, they come back from everything. Like,
yeah, this is actually true. Very true.
Like, I tweeted something about, the fact that we're about to get blown out by 20 from the team that we knocked out of the playoffs the last year. And then almost immediately, the Nuggets, and then I made another snarky comment about the Nuggets going on a little run to get within a respectable 18 down. and then they just went off. Then they just went off.
But you know what's funny? We're at the Perch, which we always hang out. We're outside section 144. We're making our own little, like, DNVR club hangout. So if you dig DNVR, hang out at the Perch at halftime. It's actually really fun. People are starting to make friends. Like, that's what we want. Bring people together. Even if it's only for totally. 10 minutes and
the greatest part about the Perch is that I always try and implore Adam and Harrison and Brendan to give us their take on the game. And then this last game where we were down by quite a bit at halftime, I was like, hey, Adam, what's the prevalent thought here? Like, what's going on in the first half? And then Adam just looked at me and shook his head. He's like, I don't know. They made 6 threes, 7 threes.
Yeah. I really thought it was that late. And on rewatch, I was kind of, I think I was right about this. Like, I didn't hate the way Denver played. I thought they played okay.
Oh, you were 100% right.
Yeah, I was like, man, they're doing all right. It's just, the Spurs aren't missing right now. A couple of weird bounces. I mean, like, there was in that game, there was like three or four. Denver had like a deflection, dives for it, misses, and the ball rolls directly to a guy open for three. And it was like, okay. So it's just like, sometimes that stuff happens. But here's the thing I wanted to say is we're at the Perch, and some of this is like guys psyching themselves up. But most people there were like, I still think we're going to win this. And
totally.
And look, that there's a lot of fanness there, like a lot of fans like wanting to believe, so they're going to believe. But at the same time, I just don't think that was the case a year and a half ago, 2 years, like before they started to get over the hump. And this team is now like not just over the hump. There really is a thing to them where it's like, yeah, we know that group is so good that if they have a good 10-minute stretch, they're going to win the game, no matter the circumstance.
Yeah, I really think it comes down to the bedrock of Nikola Jokic. Like, yeah. You can't break this team because he, at a certain point, it's not him directly leading off the charge. It's just something about his presence and the fact that he's always there. He's always steady. You can always count on him to make the right play. And then it wills players like Jamal Murray into, like being able to rise to the occasion. But there's just something about having that, like that backstop, and it just can't be overstated. Nikola Jokic is just like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me as a fan.
he's such a great centerpiece for this team, man. I mean, I really think, is there any player in the NBA you would rather have than him? For Denver? I mean, specifically for Denver. I mean, yeah, in a vacuum, sure, like LeBron or whatever. But I'm just talking about he's a perfect Denver star.
Yeah, I mean, legitimately, no. Like, I don't think I would trade him for almost anybody in the NBA. I don't think that I would trade him for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
I don't think I would. Like, I mean, granted, like, my everything I say comes from the place of a mouth-breathing fan, as I've explained. But I, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think Giannis makes the rest of the team better. Like, I don't think
I mean, they are like 48-7 or something right now.
Yeah, no, I understand how ridiculous that sounds. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I just love what he brings to the team. And, yeah, and perhaps Giannis is the wrong example because he's also probably somebody that sparks a small.
I always wonder this. If Giannis came to Denver and joined Jokic, like, who would be the star? I mean, they both would be very popular, but, like, is Jokic so ingrained in the team that people are, or is Giannis just the, like, he looks more like the star? I mean, he looks like a Terminator and he dunks on people. I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, when you're saying this out loud, I mean, Giannis is definitely, I would probably trade Jokic for Giannis.
but honestly, I don't know that you would for this one reason. Is your odds go maybe marginally up? Maybe they don't, by the way. I'm on Jokic Island like through and through, but maybe not. But yeah, there's Jokic is our guy, and he's such a, I mean, he's just such a lovable
goofball, he's our
too.
Guy.
You know what I mean? He's our guy. So it's weird to be like, oh, yeah, someone else's kids are cool. Cooler than my kids or whatever. But I think the same, like, it's interesting, the Murray MPJ Jokic dynamic, because one of the pleasant surprises of this season has been, I really worried that MPJ saw himself as like a number one, get out of my way, whatever. And like, there's just no signs of that. There's no evidence that he's that guy. He actually seems like he loves Nikola Jokic. Like, he really genuinely enjoys him. And to me, I look at that and I go like, oh man, this is so great, because that's what you want. You want synergy between your best players.
I have to say, yeah, absolutely. Like, the idea of Michael Porter Jr. coming in, being this guy that's been the number one on every team he's played. Granted, it's been for a total of like 7 games total.
yeah.
He would just come in and be that, like, you know, that like grumpy NBA superstar and would sort of disrupt things. But I've been so impressed with the way that he's handled himself. Like, he always does the right thing. I mean, you never know with the way rookies come into this league and what they actually end up turning into once they get paid. And like, once they like totally turn into monsters, like Kevin Durant being a good example. So who knows, like, maybe his ego will swell up and overtake, but at this point in time, like, he's just like such a great addition. Every part of it. It is fantastic. MPJ, like,
and then Murray's an interesting one because him and Jokic obviously have such chemistry on the court. Murray's just the one that I, and this is probably a little bit of my own bias, but to me, he's going to be like, if this thing works out, he's going to be the elite third wheel. He'll be the second wheel, I think, this year and maybe even next. But, and maybe they can, that's enough to get it done. But to me, I don't know. That's the interesting one for me. He's been so great over this last stretch, and obviously last game, like, no way Denver wins that one without how he plays. It's so, and actually, maybe that's where I should go with the Murray conversation. It's just so encouraged by his like good moments. And I hate to say it, but I think he has been inconsistent. There's time for him to be consistent the rest of the year, but there have been like good Murray and bad Murray. But man, the last 4 games have been good Murray, and you're just like, my God, this dude can be a true star. Like, at his best, he really is a true star.
Without question. I really think that he's been playing with injury all year.
Like, I think so too. I think so too.
You know, remember, this is a guy that played an entire rookie season with a torn abdominal muscle and it didn't come out till at the end of the year. And he just has looked heavy. And when he's running, he's looked labored. Having this time off, I mean, he still looks injured, unfortunately.
That's very concerning that he was off for 10 games, like 3 weeks.
No doubt.
And he came back and was like immediately still hobbled. And you're like, oh, how much time do you need off?
I know. And then between he and Gary, like, who also seems to be injured all the time, I was just saying, like, our core is strained. Like, our beloved core is, like, constantly hurt. Like, it's a strange dynamic. But then, look what Murray is able to do. He's remarkable.
He's mentally tough, man. He really is. I mean, he really does have it. In terms of like willing himself to get the most out of whatever, overcoming whatever obstacles are in front of his way. I don't know. He's such a tough one to solve because he's so imperfect, but his good qualities when they're on are just like so shocking. They're just so like, I mean, he dominated that fourth quarter last night or two nights ago. He just like completely put away a pretty good Spurs team that has like a handful of pretty good players. And it was just like, none of you guys matter.
No. And the other great thing about Murray is that he's like a jerk. He's our only jerk. We have no jerks.
Yeah, and he is a jerk.
Sometimes you need a jerk, right? And it's like the best kind of jerk. It's like your jerk. Yeah. It's like after a game like that, that Jamal Murray goes off, you can go on the Twitter timeline and just see the opposing fan base just spewing so much venom about him. And it is so delightful. I love it. Nothing makes me feel better.
Do you feel like you know the Murray, Porter, Jokic era? Like, do you feel like you have a grasp of what it is? Or do you feel like after one more year, I mean, you know, like Melo and AI, you kind of knew that team. You knew what it was like. It didn't take too long to kind of get to know them because they were veterans when they kind of came together. But Michael Porter's still a little bit young. Do you feel like you already know sort of what this team is about? Maybe not how good they're going to be, but just like who they are.
I don't. Well, yes, in that they are a team that is has a really solid foundation in Nikola Jokic, and then all the other players play off of Nikola Jokic. And so if you can have players that can shoot and score and slash and play off of the strength of Nikola Jokic, yes, like I think we do have a good idea of like what this team is, what they'll look like. It's just like, who are the players around Nikola Jokic at the end of the day, right?
Yeah. Eric, the Green Solution has 17 Colorado locations and an express checkout to get you in as fast as possible.
Do you think that the solution, the Green Solution to the Mel Tucker problem?
I almost forgot about the Mel Tucker situation. Man, I think a lot of CU fans are going to be needing to hit up the Green Solution. What a
unbelievable
shocker. This is really tough. This would be like Michael Malone, like just quitting. I mean, like the Lakers job opened up, guys. Sorry. Actually, the Michigan State, it's not even the Lakers. Back if he went to, like Detroit or something. You're like, what? Seriously? You're going to leave for that? Anyway, the Green Solution. Get on your phone right now. Go to the website, mygreensolution.com. Order your flower, concentrate, edibles, topicals online, and head to the closest Green Solution for pickup and use DNVR20 as your code. You get 20% off your entire purchase. the Mel Tucker thing. Oh. I got to hop in the group chat after this. I'm very, very curious to see the disaster it is. The DNVR group chat is it's a fun place. It's a really fun place.
Yeah.
Probably not too fun right now. So we're going to talk about the Lakers now. And before I do, in your opinion, who is the biggest Denver Nuggets rival right now?
I mean, coming into the season, I would absolutely have said Portland, but I haven't really, until Nurkic comes back, like they're kind of dormant as far as a rivalry is.
That's surprising
concerned.
To me. I don't feel that at all. I freaking
really
hate Portland. Like, I really am rooting for them to lose out on the playoffs.
Oh, is that what that? I mean, are we just counting teams we're hoping lose as our rivals?
I guess that is like, how do you define it? But that's just what I mean. Is like, which one really do you just really want to beat the most? And I don't know. It's a split between Portland and the Lakers for me.
Really? Well, I for me, it's Utah and Portland. And the Lakers, I don't really think of as the Nuggets' rival, just because particularly like this version of the Lakers, like they just were grown in a Petri dish. They have like no showed up one day. Like, we don't have any connection to these players. Like, I don't hate Avery Bradley I definitely hate Kyle Kuzma, but
they're like they were acquired, you know, like they –
For sure,
they're like some giant corporation that just like acquired this town. It's like, I don't. Those guys are just put on a hat for that organization.
Yeah. It's like a town was just dropped next year's, and then they're supposed to be your big rival, Shelbyville next door. But I don't even know who these people are. Like, I don't know enough to hate them. I don't like the idea of the Lakers. But like, the seeing Portland and seeing Utah like always gets my blood boiling.
It's funny how there's been a lot of over the last decade or so. It started with San Antonio. They had the whole built not bought when they were going up against the Heat, and it was just really annoying. Every single one of those instances has been really annoying, and I don't want Denver to become that. But at the same time, it is impossible not to notice the contrast between Denver and the Lakers. The Lakers have every advantage. They have a team that just like fell into their lap despite years of mismanagement, and Denver has like meticulously crafted this. And as one of the like captains of the Denver Nuggets sort of fan base, I don't want to steer us into that stupid, annoying, like billboard making shirt, like, oh, built, not bought, heart, height, or I don't know, whatever. Like, but there is a contrast I want to draw. And that is just that, like, if the Nuggets are to win a championship with this team, I really think it's going to be so much more valuable and meaningful than what the Lakers could accomplish with this team. And I'm not saying like it's not valuable if they get a championship with LeBron. I'm just saying there's something too, like this goofy Jokic character came in as a second rounder and was goofy and aloof and didn't speak English. And we watched him grow up in front of our eyes. That's just like so meaningful.
Yeah, of course. Like this Nuggets team represents all that is good in the world. And like, you want to believe that you want to,
I'm glad you didn't take it too far.
Yeah, like you want to believe that things, if you do things the right way, you will be rewarded. You are.
I definitely don't believe that.
You are really, well, you don't believe. Well, it's not that whether or not you do believe it, it's just you want to believe that that's true.
Like
if you treat people the right way, if you conduct yourself in the right manner, if you go through the steps at the way you've been told that you're supposed to go through them, you should be rewarded, as opposed to just like, you know, like the rich kid showing up and cutting in line and then just like speeding off and somehow winning the lottery, right? Like the Nuggets represent like the best of what just like true trial and tribulation is all about, and like reaching new levels because you are smart. I mean, the most annoying part about the Nuggets versus the Lakers is that, like you said, the Lakers have made the most atrocious decisions in their front office for the last 4 years in a row. And they just sold out. They got two.
They keep failing upwards.
Top, yes, they got two top three draft picks.
Three.
They turned into three. And then how many? Zero of them are on the team, right?
You're correct. Lonzo, D'Angelo, and Brandon Ingram were the three.
Zero of them are on the team currently. And somehow they got better by getting rid of three top three draft picks because they just traded in for other people's top draft picks. It's disgusting. The Lakers make me sick. And I just want to see the Nuggets succeed because good should triumph over evil.
Well, that's not putting it too lightly. So with this game tomorrow, it's kind of what are you looking for? Last game before the All-Star break, sort of what are you keying in on?
I'll tell you what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a sea of Nuggets fans wearing Take That L shirts.
Ooh, yeah, that is the shirt. That's the official shirt of that one. You got to wear that one.
That is the official shirt of playing the Lakers. It has the Lakers L right in the middle. It's simple. It's emblematic of all of these fan bases and all of these teams where you have fair weather fans that just hop on when the weather is sunny and bright. And then, so I'm looking for the Pepsi Center to hold its own and for it not to be overtaken by Lakers gold. Even though it totally will be.
It totally will be. I was like, don't hold your breath. It's funny, at the Perch the other day, we were talking to a bunch of the Perch regulars, and so many of them were like, yeah, sold those tickets, just made a boatload. And that's why people do it. It's not for any other reason other than, like, you can buy a 10-pack, sell the Laker tickets, and walk away almost even.
Yeah, man. Like, the guy that I sit next to, I have season tickets. He told me that he already sold his tickets. He put them up for – the tickets are normally at face value. They're like $50. He put them up for $100 a ticket. They sold immediately. He said that tickets in the same section are selling for $250 a ticket. But I don't care. I'm still going to go, and I'm still going to boo the Lakers.
I love how principled you are. Do you feel that as Nuggets fans, they should be more principled for this game?
I do think they should be more principled for this game.
Yell at him. Preach at him, Eric. I want to hear this.
There's literally nothing worse than going to a Nuggets game and being drowned out by opposing fan bases, particularly the Lakers. Like, who are these people? Why are they in Denver? Have they lived here their whole lives and decided to be fans of the Lakers because they were successful? These people shouldn't be rewarded.
There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I really believe this. When you live in Denver, and especially if you've grown up in Denver, rooting for other teams, especially teams like the Lakers, to me is like the worst sort of like, why are you here? Denver is such a great city. It's such an incredible place. And it's like, what are you doing here? Please get away. Please move away. Go to any other city in America. Like, just Colorado is too cool for you to be like a fan of that, like soulless, like Walmart.
Well, perhaps move to Los Angeles while you're at it, since you're such a huge Lakers fan. Yeah, I don't really understand the mindset. Like, I genuinely think
it takes a bad, like a character flaw. I know this is crazy.
It is a character flaw. Here's the thing.
I think you can like LeBron. I think you can like Kobe or whatever. Like, there's those things, but there's just something about like, you know, even people that liked Tom Brady over the air. It's like, okay, that's one thing. But when you're like a Patriots fan, it's like, what are you doing? What do you do? This is Denver. It's like an awesome, awesome, unique city. Like, it's like a one of a kind. What are you doing?
And not only that, like, I think I told you a while ago, like my Nuggets fandom that I've like really gone heavy is one of my proudest accomplishments in my life, because they were so bad when I decided to like really get on. Well, that's not true. Like when I was really into them when I was a kid, and then I like really, really, really got into them this time around during that 57 win season. So perhaps I'm a front runner as well. But then they were not good after that, and I just like somehow dug in deeper. I just like decided
for sure. But it's beautiful, I think. Like that's the thing. That's the thing about like a city and a fan base. It's like, you just love it. This is how we've talked about this in the group chat, so you've already heard this take, but like I am like so adamantly against In-N-Out. For one, because I just actually legitimately don't think it's good, so it's easy for me to be against something that I'm like, yeah, it tastes like every other burger. But I'm also just because I'm like, Denver's a cool-ass city, man. Why do we have to make it California? Why? We're cool.
You know what? I'm a little bit of a burger front runner, it turns out. Like,
Terrible. No, I'm dead serious about this. Like, you know how like everybody likes like their grandma's chili? It's like, oh, my grandma has the best chili, and it's like, whatever. It's because it's your grandma. To me, that's what Colorado is. It's like, it's my grandma's. People are like, oh, you know what you should have is McDonald's chili, and you're like, what? What?
Although I have to say, my grandma was not a particularly good cook. Neither was my mother. So maybe. Maybe I've just been looking to fast food restaurants to fill a hole my whole life.
I'm just so the options as possible. I really think I am one of the most like over the top Denver like stands. I'm just a stand of the city.
I think that's pretty clear through this conversation. Like In-N-Out is delicious. What are you talking about?
I don't care. I honestly like get out of here. Go eat at Bojo's. Go eat at Santiago's. Go eat at Good Times. Yeah. You know what? Get the F out of here with your California pizza kitchens. I don't know if that comes from California, but you know what? Get it out of here. Boo that place. I just love this city. I want it to be unique. But anyway, getting back to Lakers fans, I really feel that exact same way about Beaver. I'm just like, what are you doing, man? Like, there's something so beautiful about suffering together with your city and succeeding together with your city of like, man, it's fun to walk down the street and be like, oh, yeah, look at all of us wearing our Bronco shirts or Nugget shirts or whatever. Like, look at us, man. Look at us. Who thought we'd be here?
Look at us. particularly with the Nuggets fandom is really unique. Well, maybe not. I mean, you know, if you're a Rapids fan, probably even more so. But there's something about like just sort of having to band together because no one's talking about the Nuggets. They're not really in the hearts or minds of people, even in the city of Denver. And then I don't know, like to just like have it feel like so special, like you. It belongs to you in a weird way. It's just been like so, it's like so undeniable. I just can't imagine it the other way where you just show up and like expect a championship every year. It just seems so.
Oh yeah. It's so like my buddy Anthony, who I love, and do the Friday NBA show on Locked On NBA. But he's that way where he's like, dude, you have no idea how bad these last 6 years have been. And I'm just like, dude, what do you mean? What do you mean, man? What are you talking about? You have no idea what sports are about. Like you just don't. You don't get it. Austin, Texas resident Anthony. So another one of those awful people. No. So tomorrow, though, from a basketball perspective, like what do you see as sort of the key matchup?
Well, I mean, the last time we played the Lakers, they didn't have LeBron, and we were able to beat them down. The first time we played them, I was like really struck by how just big. That,
I know,
like,
and I wish Denver had Michael Porter and Barton, because Denver's kind of big now. Denver's kind of long. They're not big, but they're really long.
They do have the potential for being, I mean, the long boys, right? Like,
yeah. I love the long boys. I like that people are starting to say it, too. It's kind of hilarious. They are. They're the long boys.
Well, so, I mean, that's going to be the matchup, right? Like, seeing how, you know, like at every position, the Lakers are, they're big. Like, every single position. But now we have our man PJ Composure to stack up against their big, tall one. And we have Grant is there. I mean, we definitely need MPJ to really round out the long boys. But,
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to is, like, are the Nuggets able to stand up against just, like, a physical, I don't know, advantage that the Lakers possess, like a pure physical advantage.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they have left in the tank, because there are 9 days off after this game and it's much needed. I mean, this Nuggets team, especially Jokic, I think Jokic is like hitting a wall, as is to be expected. He's been carrying them, but it's like, do they have just a little bit less left to make a bit of a statement? Not a big one, but a bit of a big statement. The flip side of that is, I think Denver, I can't imagine Denver being a front runner. Even if they were the one seed, I think people would be like, well, they're not a real one seed. They're vulnerable in the 1-8, whatever. Like, people would say that. But I do think there's something to Denver being like just like last year, where they, on the last night of the season, it determines whether they're the second, third, fourth, or fifth seed. Like, I just think that's the perfect spot. And then, of course, to win it and get the 2 seed. But I don't know. I don't want them to, I don't want it to get too loud too early, I guess.
Yeah. There is something about peaking early and then, you know, sort of losing the hunger a little bit. My question for tomorrow is whether or not the Lakers care enough. I mean, they're going into a break, right? Like, are they going to be motivated? Do they see the Nuggets as like a true rival, or at least a true challenger?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, are they going to be like, I'm really curious to see the energy they come with. If they just sort of like roll in, you know, expecting the victory and, sort of go through the motions, or I imagine that the Nuggets are going to be a lot more motivated and a lot more, we'll just see a lot more out of them. They've just been so impressive over the last, you know, how long, like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, where it just has, ever since the injuries like really started to hit, and we hit that like unbelievable and indefensible like stretch of games where they had the back-to-back. It started off with a late game that went into a back-to-back, and then an early game in Detroit, and then into another back-to-back. And somehow they were like triumphant through that ridiculous gauntlet of games. And they've just really dug deep throughout that entire stretch. And so, you know, I just can't imagine them taking their feet or their foot off the gas at all. You know, I really think they're going to show us something.
I'm looking forward to my mini vacation, but I'm not actually looking forward to 9 days off of basketball. That's a really long time. Whenever the Nuggets had like 2 days off, I'd be like, oh, what's going on? This is ridiculous. Whatever. And so now like 9 days off. I know there's an All-Star weekend there, but like I'm not going to be watching. I'll probably watch All-Star Sunday, but that's about it. So I don't know. I'm sort of almost dreading that part. Once I get back from my vacation on Sunday and then I have till like Friday till they play, I'm just going to be like, oh, the longest week ever.
Yeah, I consider me, like, I'm not going to Mexico also. Like, I have 9 days off, and I sit here in my own stew and my own juices. Like, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, at least the Avs are playing.
That's true.
All right, give me a prediction for tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, I think, you know, it's crazy. Like, the Lakers beat us pretty big the first time we played. We beat them really big the last time we played. So I got to think it's just going to be a tight game, like, hotly contested. I think, you know, I mean, what am I, hotly, what do you expect?
Hotly contested.
I think the Nuggets are going to win. Like, what? I'm not using logic here. This is pure heart. The Nuggets are going to win. They're going to win a close one, but it's they're going to squeak it out.
I don't see it. I think Denver, I think Jokic has already started to show. I mean, look, he had, what, 19, 15, and 9 or something last game. Like, his numbers were ridiculous. But I thought he was a little stuck in the mud the last couple games where it just looked like it's catching up to him. And I think he'll be fine. I mean, you get 9 days off for a reason. But, I mean, he looks like a guy that's, like, stumbling towards this break and then is going to, like, be on the couch for 5 days straight just, like, icing his legs. So, I don't know. I it's one thing to sort of beat the – I guess they beat the Bucks shorthanded. So, I guess why not beat the Lakers? Let's keep it going. Who knows?
Let's go!
Let's go!
Ready? Let's watch. Why? Why would you doubt this team?
You're right.
Until they give me reason to doubt this, to doubt them, I never will.
Yeah. Well, I already told, when we booked this trip, I told my wife, I said, we're going to watch this. One thing is, I know we'll be there, but we're not actually starting the vacation until after the Nuggets game. So I will be watching live. I'll probably be tweeting live, live from vacation. We're going to get out of here, but first I want to tell you about Denver Rubber Company. Eric, we joke about this company all the time, but you want to know something? We get actual reviews from people that have gone, that go to Denver Rubber Company for things. They're like, wow, thanks for the rec. I had no idea where I could get like snow plows and some of the other stuff they do. So,
yo, listen, if you need a custom gasket and you were just out in the world, like wondering where you could get blades custom slotted for your snow plow and you had no options, and then your friends at DNVR told you about a place you could get all of those items.
What I think this really tells people is how we read this read is how much of like we're not blue collar workers. Like the fact that we're just like, oh, because there's people that actually do need this stuff, and we're always like, that's crazy, that's wild. But no, they're like people in the know. No. So Denver Rubber Company, you're gonna call them 1-800-259-0010. Visit drcfirst.com/DNVR. That way you let them know who sent you.